First, they feel trapped, but they also believe they love this person with every fiber of their being because of that love bombing and because there's an addiction. And I see it all the time. Clients have the most horrific abusive things going on with these creatures, but then they refuse to leave them.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. Today, we've got a fascinating subject, breaking free, navigating narcissistic relationships for empowered individuals. And today, we have Tricia Chandler. Welcome, Tricia.
Hi. Thanks for having me here, Brad.
Super excited to have you. And by the way, even though we share the last name, we are not related. We just met a couple months ago through our Rapid Transformational Therapy program. She is not my sister, no relative at all. So anyway, that's funny. I don't meet a lot of people with the last name of Chandler. We like to start the podcast with just amazing information and just keep it rolling the whole time. We're talking about narcissistic relationships, which you have a specialty in. And we're going to talk more about why you have a specialty. But for now, I want to know, Tricia, why does a person get paired with a narcissistic partner?
That is a very good question, Brad. There are some really logical reasons why. And those of us get drawn into these relationships seem to have this repeating pattern. It's almost as if certain people are magnets for this type of relationship. And you'll see it in romantic relationships. You'll see it with family members. You'll see it with friends, colleagues, bosses. And it just keeps happening over and over and over again. And people tend to, especially with romantic relationships, you'll get rid of one narcissist and then you'll find another one. Meanwhile, other people never have relationships with these people. So there's clearly something going on there, right? And the reason is interesting, and it's all kind of rooted in that whole idea that RTT is so all about, and that's the mind seeks what is familiar. You know, like in my case, I wasn't even fully aware that there was abuse in my childhood. And we can talk more about that later. But in my case, that was exactly what drew me into this relationship. And that is how it happens with most people. You essentially have this childhood wound, and it's not dissimilar to the narcissist's childhood wound. And they fit together almost like puzzle pieces. You are drawn to them. They are drawn to you. Usually the victim is a highly desirable person to the narcissist. So maybe they have traits the narcissist doesn't. They're kind. They're empathetic. They're smart. They're hard workers. They will help people to a fault. And that to a fault is a big part of it. That's what really draws the narcissist and the partner, potential victim, together. Because this person will forgive them for their garbage over and over and over again. They will accept that behavior and allow them to do it to them over and over again, whether they realize it or not. That's what's happening.
Tricia mentioned RTT, and that stands for Rapid Transformational Therapy. It's a study and a program, an amazing program that Tricia and I are both certified in. If you want to hear more information about that, just go to bradchandler.com/RTT, and there's a little 2-minute video. So, Tricia, you said a lot of great things in there. Someone is drawn to a narcissistic person because of their upbringing, because of their childhood. So what I have found, and I'd love to hear your feedback on this, is that the subconscious mind, its only real reason for existence is to keep you alive, right? It doesn't care if you're happy or sad. So what it does is it wants to recreate whatever was familiar in the past. So if you grew up as a child of a narcissist, although it probably sucked for you, you're still alive. So the subconscious brain is saying, hey, you just went through this. I need to find the same exact person so that I know I can keep you alive. What are your thoughts on that?
In a nutshell, that is correct. I mean, your subconscious brain doesn't have any logic to it. It just goes, well, she lived through that yesterday. So let's do more of that today. And that's really what's happening. So this seems like you lived through this. And then there's this new relationship. And that's more of the same. So that must be okay, right? Because you didn't die from it before. It doesn't really matter if you're happy, sad, or otherwise. It's just, this works for me. I understand this. I recognize this. This is normal, right? And as a child, you don't understand those things are not normal because that's all you know. You have no idea. Other people don't do that, or the other people don't live this way.
Yeah, it's your mom or your dad. Like, you look up to them. They're your idols, right? They can do no wrong. I don't know if it's Marissa or Gabor that says this. When a child feels like the parent stops loving them, they don't stop loving the parent. They stop loving themselves.
That's exactly right. I think that's Gabor Mate. Yeah.
Hence, you know, that's the cause of a lot of our problems. So did you do that in your life? Did you go out and marry the parent that you had issues with?
You know, it's funny, especially with girls, they always say that you marry your father. And in my case, I didn't, but there is an element there that rings true. You know, my dad was very emotionally distant. And well, a narcissist is nothing but emotionally distant. So in that piece, they're alike. My dad was an amazing person who would never dream of doing anything bad to me, but he was very emotionally distant. So that rings true. For me, that was not the relationship, wasn't abusive from my parents. I mean, I did have some stuff from my mom. She did do some crazy stuff to me, but she didn't do it intentionally. And it's a little bit like I'm making excuses for her, but mostly the abuse was from my sister. She was the primary abuser in the household. She's borderline personality disorder and histrionic, which are two cluster B personality disorders that are closely related to narcissism, psychopathy, and sociopath.
But she had to get that from somewhere. She wasn't born with that.
Right.
It had to come from your parents, right?
Yes and no. She was adopted at the age of two, and she came through the foster system. And it's believed that there was a lot of extreme neglect and abuse that happened. She did not form normal attachments with people. And when she did, it was only an attachment with my mother. And it became this very sick kind of abusive garbage that went on there. I mean, I grew up watching my sister, who's 11 years older than me, choke my mother, bash her head against the wall, slap her, spit her on her, call her names, you name it.
Wow.
And my mother would turn to me and say, "Don't you tell your daddy what you just saw."
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So, because I did that in my relationships, I went out and paired with people who were like my father, who I had the most problem with. And on the screen, I have your behavior driven by your subconscious mind. Remember, your subconscious mind, its only purpose is to keep you alive. If someone would have said, "Go try to find your father as a partner," I would have no idea. But guess what? My subconscious mind did that. So we're driven by these behaviors. We don't even know why we're doing these things. And it's all this deeply buried emotions and beliefs from childhood. I mean, that must have been terribly tough for you to not only see that abuse of your mom. So as a child, you can't help her. So your little brain's probably saying, "I'm helpless. I'm not good enough because I can't help her." And then you've got to hide the secret from your father. So you feel shameful that you're stuck in the middle, that you can't now tell your father what's really going on. I mean, that's a terrible place for a child. So I'm sorry that you went through that.
It's a lot of toxic shame right there.
Wow, it sure is. So back to the narcissistic relationships, we've talked about why someone gets into them. Why do people stay in these relationships?
Well, there's a lot of mechanisms at play. So a lot of it is coping mechanisms that come from childhood. You start out with a person in a relationship, and in the beginning, because you've been through this as a child, you have this deep fear of abandonment. You have, it's called the abandonment wound. You also have a deep seated lack of self-love, for no other words. You don't feel good enough. You don't feel worthy. You don't feel anybody else would ever love you, is kind of the essence of it. And then you meet this person who fits like a perfect fitting puzzle piece with you. And they are so amazing. And it's essentially like you're holding a mirror in front of your face. And this person is reflecting back at you everything that you want. And they're really good listeners because they're predators. You think to yourself, "Oh, he listens to me. Oh, yeah, sure he does. He listens because he wants to know how to manipulate and abuse you." So they're reflecting back through this mirror exactly what you want to see and hear. And this is what's called the love bombing phase. So it's always at the beginning of a narcissistic abusive relationship. So this person is abusing you. They're just showering you with obscene amounts of validation that you never got before. And you feel like, this is amazing. And with no other person in the world have you ever felt this way before. So this person does that for you and you think, that's it. This is what love is, right? How could you not? Then you get into this relationship. And as soon as the narcissist has you tied down, maybe it's through marriage, maybe it's through they picked you up and moved you across the country and you're around nobody else you know. Or maybe it's because you're now a stay-at-home mom and you have kids and you don't have any resources on your own. So now you're kind of stuck. But then in the back of your mind, you're going, oh, they're so great because all that love bombing happened. And then they breadcrumb you by feeding you little bits of positive affirmation all along the way. And then no sooner do they do something sweet. Maybe they bought you flowers or they bought you new shoes or something. Next thing you know, they're telling you you're a fat cow or some horrible thing, or they're cheating on you. And then they're sorry. And then it's this back and forth. So you kind of hang on to these breadcrumbs that they drop along the way. And this hot and cold cycle becomes an addiction. And so in your body, in your brain, you have serotonin, you have cortisol, you have all of these hormonal chemicals that are released through feel-good things, through stress, through all things. And all of these things fluctuate with the narcissist's behavior, and it creates what is called a trauma bond. You are essentially addicted. It's a drug addiction, the same as if you were shooting heroin. So people don't leave. First, they feel trapped, but they also believe they love this person with every fiber of their being because of that love bombing and because there's an addiction. And I see it all the time. Clients have the most horrific abusive things going on with these creatures, but then they refuse to leave them. Maybe the guy went to jail because he beat her. Then she'll sign the release papers and let him back in the house. I mean, this doesn't even make sense, but it happens over and over and over again. And that's why.
Yeah. What was Marissa always say? Emotion always trumps logic, right? So the logic is don't sign the release papers, but the emotion's like, hey, I need this guy or this person in my life to make myself worthy. So I'm going to let them back into my life. So Tricia, how does this person who's in this relationship leave and take back their power?
Whew, that's hard. It's really hard. And it takes an average of 7 attempts for the typical abused victim to leave their abuser 7 times. Wow. And each time it takes a little more strength and a little more, you know, planning and foresight and just sheer strength of will in many cases for the victim to actually leave and successfully do so and to stay no contact with this person. Because remember, it's like addiction and you have to go no contact because a heroin addict can't walk around with a full syringe in their purse. You can't work in a bar if you're an alcoholic because you're around that drug. And in this case, the victim's drug is the narcissist. So you can't be around that person or you'll just fall back into it. That's huge. And if you don't have the financial resources to make your own life, which is something that I see all the time, so many of these women are so tied into these relationships financially, it's very, very difficult. It happens. They are able to get out, but it takes a lot of planning, a lot of support, a ton of support. And I'm not just talking financial support either. You have to have people who are listening, who know how your life has been. They understand how to get you out. And a lot of times that comes from making friends with other people who have done it successfully. I think support groups are huge for people.
So, Tricia, what's your story?
My story is a little different than that. And I've had like a masterclass in education on what exactly narcissism is. I mean, I think most people know what a narcissist is as far as they're loud, they're boisterous, they're full of themselves, but that's typical malignant narcissist. I was married to a covert narcissist. And until the time my husband was actually diagnosed as that, and that is rare that they get diagnosed, I'd never even heard of that. Most people that knew us had no idea anything that was going on behind closed doors because you don't tell people. That's embarrassing. That's assuming you even understand what's happening yourself, which I didn't really. But a covert narcissist, he was kind, intellectual, very introverted. He was a college professor. I mean, these are not people that you think of as being a narcissist because he was first and foremost, an intellectual, and he was very quiet. Everybody would say, he was such a good guy. And like, except he's not. He's not at all. I was married to him for 39 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what was life like for you?
You know, in the beginning, it was beautiful. There was this whole love bomb thing that happened. He immediately whisked me away to a place that I didn't know anybody. And in the beginning, we didn't really have any money and we had to rely completely on each other because we didn't have anything, as a lot of young married couples. But I was very young. I was 19 when I got married. So in the beginning, it all seemed fine. Thinking back now, I can see all kinds of things that were really wrong. And it's not that I didn't know things were wrong throughout the relationship. I did. But I tended to just excuse them or to make excuses for his poor behavior. He would do something or say something that would embarrass me in front of somebody, and I would make an excuse for him. It didn't really get really bad until the last, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 years. And then it got really bad the last 2 or 3. The emotional mind games that would happen, the lying, the cheating, just all of the stuff. And you're always made to believe that you're crazy. He would triangulate against me with our teenage daughter. And it would always end with him saying to our daughter, "You know, she's crazy and she makes stuff up." And then they would just laugh and laugh at me. I mean, this was a regular occurrence. And wow. I didn't say anything about it. I mean, what are you going to say? I didn't know. Things would happen within the relationship or with one of the kids, and I would bring it up to his attention. He would use that as an opportunity to twist it around and make me believe that I was crazy or I was misunderstanding something. We had constant circular arguments, which they're famous for. Some people call it word salad. And they will just bring up these arguments that just go around and around and around, and there's never any resolution to it. And you leave that feeling so completely confused and bewildered, and you're led to believe that it's all your fault. And I truly believed everything that was wrong in our relationship was my fault. And I apologized to him over and over and over again.
And this led you to some pretty dark places, I remember you telling me.
So in my case, I never fully understood anything that was wrong with him until after he just up and discarded me. One day we were having a dinner party. We'd had house guests for the weekend. Everything was normal. And the very next day, he says, "By the way, I'm moving out." You're like, "What?" And then he proceeds to say a lot of really terrible things and do a lot of really terrible things, which left me in a very deep, dark depression. And at that point, because I was addicted to this trauma bond and had no idea, my first inclination was, I can't live without this person. I truly believed there was no way I could live another day without him. And so I planned to kill myself.
Wow. How did you go from there to the darkest place possible where you're thinking about committing, taking your life, to today? And what can you recommend other people who are in that dark place? What can they do?
You know, there were a lot of people in my corner who really, really knew what was going on. And they were really basically dragging me by the hair out of that dark hole, preventing me from doing anything and keeping me present so that I could pay attention to all of the good things that I had going for me that I couldn't even see in that instance, because all I could see was this dark hole where I was all alone. And I think in my case, really realizing that I wasn't alone and that my life had value and worth, that was huge to kind of keep me present enough to make other plans. And a friend of mine was sending me videos of another RTT practitioner. I had no idea what it was she did. I don't think she even said RTT in her videos, but I would watch these videos obsessively. And I thought, my God, this woman is like in my bushes or something. She's watching me. She knows me. She is me. I don't know. And so I cyber stalked her and called her on the phone one day. And I said, "Hey, you don't know me, but I've been watching your videos and I need your help." And I talked with her for, I don't know, an hour or so on the phone. Ended up having a session later the next week, I believe it was. And I had a box of pills sitting on my kitchen counter. And I decided to go ahead and spend the money on the session because I figured I wouldn't really need it after I swallowed those pills. So it would be fine.
Wow.
And after that session, it was like a switch flipped in my head. So I went from being so depressed, I could barely get out of my bed or off the couch. I wasn't bathing. I wasn't washing my hair. I wasn't changing my clothes. I wasn't eating. I wasn't sleeping. There were multiple times I drove myself to the emergency room because I thought I was having a heart attack, but it was panic attack. I was having full-on night terrors and flashbacks, and I would spend my day basically staring at the wall, ruminating, and just churning it over and over and over in my mind. And that was my life during that period. And I thought, I'm going to have this session, and after the session, I'm just going to swallow these pills if I don't feel any better. And fortunately, I came out of that session feeling like a different person. I suddenly felt like I had hope. I had something to look forward to. I felt lighter. I could begin to kind of see the big picture. I could understand it, absorb it, process it, let go of it all. I started sleeping. I was eating.
This session must have taken, what, months or weeks?
No, it was a couple hours at most.
Couple hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's mentioned this a couple of times. RTT is what she went through. BradChandler.com/RTT. Trisha is trained in RTT. If you're struggling, if you're in a narcissistic relationship, if you're struggling with anything, RTT works on just about everything. Reach out to Trisha. Reach out to me. Reach out to someone in RTT, because this is an incredible story. I didn't know this. I only talked for a couple of minutes when we first met, but literally you were ready to take your own life after this session because you didn't think it would work. You tried lots of stuff. In 1 2-hour session, your life was completely changed, which is consistent with my work. I went through something similar to RTT with a ex-Navy SEAL. And in 3 hours, my life was changed forever. And I'd been going to therapy on and off for 3 decades. If you're suffering, you don't have to suffer anymore. Trisha, amazing, amazing story. If someone doesn't have resources to hire either of us or any RTT, and they're stuck in one of these relationships, can you give us a couple of just some advice on what someone should do if they're stuck and they don't have any money?
Well, that's always difficult because you really do need some professional help to guide you out of this, whether it be a therapist, a trauma coach, or an RTT therapist. Hi, here I am. However, a lot of people can't afford these things or they don't have insurance. And many women and men, it's not just women going through these, many people going through these relationships and trying to move out of them have been financially abused as well. And they have no access to money. And that is always tricky. You know, there are a lot of us that do this work that will work with people like that, that can't afford it. I mean, obviously I can't do pro bono clients all day, every day, but I have been known to take a few here and there. I would far rather give somebody help than see them suffer. Beyond that, there certainly are support groups out there. A lot of groups on Facebook that are really terrific. And there are a lot of other women and men who have been through this or are going through it that offer support to one another. And I think it's really validating just knowing that you're not crazy. This isn't your fault. You aren't the narcissist, because we all seem to question, wait, am I the narcissist? Because my ex said I am. So just knowing you're not alone, there are people going through it, it's hugely validating. And there are also a lot of really excellent books out there on narcissism. For me, there's one called The Covert Passive-Aggressive Narcissist by Debbie Mirza. That thing was like a healing balm to me. I would have sworn to you she was writing about my marriage. But just reading books, joining groups, talking to people who have been through it, and that's the key, I think, is talking to other survivors of narcissistic abuse, because most people can't understand it. You say these things out loud and you think, that sounds bizarre. And most people don't get it. But if you've been through it, you do. So these are all things that a person can do that are really helpful.
If you're in a narcissistic relationship, especially an abusive one, which I guess they usually are, you lack self-love. So if you want to know if you have self-love, I developed this like 12-question quiz. It takes like 3 minutes, or you can take it at bradchandler.com/quiz. So take that, kind of see where you stand. And I love the advice. Like, if you have the resources, go find Trisha. Trisha can be found at facebook.com/TrishaChandler, the number 23. If you don't have the resources, go find a support group on Facebook, on the internet. Go find people who have been through your situation, because no matter how bad your situation is, number one, someone has been through it. And number two, no matter how bad you're struggling right now, things can turn around and can turn around quickly. Trisha just said in 1 2-hour session, it completely changed her life. She was about to take her life. In 1 3-hour session, my life completely changed. So there's nothing special about us, even though we have a cool last name. There's nothing special about us. You can do the same exact thing. All problems begin with your thinking. And RTT has this magical way of changing your thinking by going through your subconscious mind and using hypnosis to access the source of your pain, because being born in such a way that she needed to marry a narcissistic person, something happened through her childhood. And she just gave us some clues to what happened that caused her this. So she learned this behavior and thus she can unlearn it. So you dropped a lot of gold nuggets here and I really appreciate it. What hasn't been said that you think is really important for these listeners to hear?
I think it's really important that if somebody tells you they've been through things, to believe them. I mean, it's human nature to give people the benefit of the doubt. In many cases, especially with women, people tend to believe the man over the woman. Whoever has the financial resources in the relationship, they're the one the general population will believe. And so if a woman says that this has been going on, people tend not to believe her. So I think it's huge when somebody has the courage to say, this happened to me, believe them. Listen to them. And then just being careful about how you approach things. And it's, I have people say things like all the time, why don't you just date somebody new? Why did you stay? I mean, these are hurtful and they're not helpful. It's not supportive to essentially blame the victim for being abused. And it's not just a breakup. So that's all really dismissive and it's very hurtful.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. That was amazing. If you guys like this type of content, please share it. Please like it. We also have a Facebook group. If you want to get support, just go to bradchandler.com/facegroup. And it's our How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs Facebook group. Tricia, thank you so much. And that concludes another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. Remember, love heals all.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.